Okay, today's share is continued Refuah Shleima for Miriam Bat Victoria and all other Chayli Yisrael need Refuah Shleima. And thank you all for coming on a Tainus. It's not an easy day, a cold Tainus, so it has a double whammy, but Hashem, the warmth of Torah will warm us up. And maybe close that door because they're working there. Okay, in this week's Sedra, so we have the very poignant encounter of Yosef and his sons with Yaakov, with the Zayda, and they come to get a bracha. And it gets a little bit shocking what happens. So let's take a look and learn a few psukim, and then I'd like to share with you a very very important insight in Hebrew to understand. When you read the Torah, we should understand why the Torah sometimes uses this phrase, and sometimes the Torah uses that phrase. So the Pasuk says, it's on page 141, Pasuk Tes. Says, and he says, who are they? And of course, Pasha Pshat is that it says that, you know, Yosef, that Yaakov was older, Kavdu, Eino Mizaykin, he was elderly, and Pasha Pshat is Miela, who are they? Can't, you know, I don't see, well, who are they? We'll see, Rashi will say something different. Vayomer Yosef, Aviv, Bonayim, they're my sons, Asher Nosen Li Elkin Bazeh, that Hashem has given me, Vayomer Kechom No Allah, Eli Vavarachem, give them to me and I will give them a bracha. And then it says, "V'ein yisal kavdim izaykin lo yachol liras." So, which is interesting, because look how this pasuk should have gone before. It should have said this at the beginning, but it doesn't. It says it now. So it seems that Rashi is picking up. We're picking up a hint that when he said mi'ela, it wasn't because he couldn't see, because it was because he couldn't see. The pasuk of that he was couldn't see should have been before him asking it. So right away we have hint number one. We're going to see three hints. Hint number one is that he said that it says v'ein yisal kav mizaykin after lo yuchal liros, after he says mi'elim. So then he says, bring it to me. And then he said v'yagish elav, they bring v'yishak lohem v'yichabik lohem, and he kisses them and he hugs them, something you would expect a grandfather to do. But as we're going to see, there's going to be a little problem with these four words. So what does Rashi tell us? There's a shocking Rashi, as we said before, that it says, Vayar Yisrael b'nei Yosef, he saw his sons, Bikish Levorchem, he wanted to give them a bracha. Nistalka Shechina Mimen, he lost the Shechina. Why did he lose the Shechina? He lost his ability to give a bracha. He went blank. As he say something? He was shocked. What happened? And he said, Miel, who are they? Why? Because two Rishoyim, Yeravim and Acha, would come from Ephraim. Yehu and his sons would come from Menashe. So therefore, he said, Mi'ela, Me'echen Yatzu Elu. Where did they come from? She'ein Ruin LeBracha. They're not even worthy of a bracha. Pesach talking about is Zeinuklach. And he's saying they're not worthy of bracha. I lost my ability to give bracha. Something's wrong here. And Yosef tells them, they're my children. And he begs them to
recognize them.
Well, that's what we're saying, that he recognized them, but when he said, I can't give a bracha, he meant, who are they? He didn't mean it, says Rashi, not in the sense of who are they, because I can't see them, but who are they, meaning in the sense I can't give them a bracha, because they have Rishayim that will be born for them in later generations.
Oh.
And even though those Rishayim were born hundreds of years later, it's like the princess and the pea, right? They're 8, 9, 1,000 years later they will be born. But he saw there must be a flaw in them that came out all these years later. So he said they're not right for bracha. And Yosef says, no, they're my children. And Rashi says he begged them to give a bracha, and he gave him bracha. And he gave him bracha. He hugged them, he kissed them, gave him bracha. So one hint we gave is that it says afterwards, Mizaykin. Second one is he says, Rashi picks him, he says, Mielim. But I think there's a third thing I'd like to suggest. I heard from a rise when a Ksava Kabbalah asked a tremendous kasha on this inyan of giving when one person gives another person a kiss, and the different ways it's described. The first place we have is by Lavan. It's by Esav. When Esav meets Yaakov, so he gets very inspired. It says, Vayaretz Esav Likros, so Esav ran to meet Yaakov. Vayichabkeyu vayiblot savarav. Vayishakeyu vayivku. And he fell, vayichabkeyu, Vayishokeyu. He hugged him and he kissed him. Now, why does it say, not say, Vayichabek lo, Vayishak lo? And he kissed him is two words. And I, when it talks about Yaakov, it says, Vayishak lohem, Vayichabek lohem. In Pasuk Vav. It says two words. Vayishak lohem. He kissed them. Vayichabek lohem. He hugged them. And here it says is one word. Vayichabkeyu, Vayishakeyu. Why here is it one word by Esav and two words by Yaakov? Furthermore, when Lavan first meets Yaakov, so it's he also gives him a hug and a kiss.
Well, it's but normal, usually a hug first before you kiss. You don't
okay.
Kiss and then hug.
Okay. Well, here it says yeah, Ashley. Which one? Here it says Ashley. It says by Yaakov. It says Yishak Lohem Yichabek. But that's not going to be our kasha. It says actually the kiss first and then the hug. But that's we're not going. Okay. Well, it's going to be rough. No drinks. So Yichabek Lohem. So the question, but our question is, why is it one word and why is it two words? Then we find by Lavan, it's weiter two different words. It says, Vayi kishmo Lavan eshema Yaakov ben Achoso. He hears that Yaakov's nephew is there. Vayarth the krosso, he runs out to meet him. Vayachabik loy, vayanashik lo. And he hugs him and he kisses him two words. So by Esav, it's one word. By Lavan, it's two words. And by Yaakov, it's two words. What's going on here? So the Ksav Kabbalah asked the second two questions, not the first question. The part of Vayichi, that's going to be my own, hopefully, addition. But the Ksav Kabbalah says, Vayinashik Lahem, what does it say by when Lavan kisses Yaakov? What does it say? Why did he kiss him? So Rashi says, interesting, because he wanted to Omer Shema Margolis Havi. Maybe he brought gems. Vein b'fiv. Where do you keep gems? They shouldn't get stolen. You put it in your mouth. So you know they say marbles in the mouth. He had maybe gems in the mouth. So he kissed them to get the gems out. Okay. How did Rashi know that? How did Rashi know that he didn't really kiss him and hug him because he loved him or he was happy to see his nephew? He hadn't seen him in ever. He sees him. He's happy to see him. So why did Rashi? How did Rashi know that he meant to be a thief? By Esav, right? It was a bigger Russia. So what does it say by Esav? Yechabkev yashakeyu. Says Rashi, ba'aisushon nichmar rachmav. In that moment, he felt mercy for Yaakov. He felt love. He felt brotherly. He felt kinship. And that's why he kissed him. So we have a question. We have a double question. Number one, why by Lavan does it use two words, v'yishak loy? And by Esav it says v'yichabkeyu, v'yishakeyu v'chabkeyu, one word instead of two. And secondly, how did Rashi pull out from this, the first time that he did it with false intentions by Lavan, and with Esav he did it with pure intentions? How do we know this? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, beautiful thing, that if it's one word, it shows it's coming from inside the person. It's coming from inside of him. Vayichabkeyu, he hugged him because it was coming from him. It's all one word. The hug is two people together. A hug sort of makes two people to one person. It combines them. So in one word means that it's real. Vayichabek loy means I'm still two people. I might be giving him a hug, I might be giving him a kiss, but I mean he's he. I'm not trying to put us together. That's why it's two words. So Yechabek loy, and he hugged him, means that it's not the real deal. Vayechabkeyu means it is. So therefore, now we have our answer. By love, and Rashi looks at the pasuk, and Rashi says, oh, it says two words here. Vayechabek lo v'yishik loy. Ay, he must not have meant it for real. It must be his lovin'. We know lovin', our old friend from way back. We know he's a Rami, he's a thief and a crook. He's not a good guy. It must be that he did it for this reason, that he did it to see if there's stuff in his mouth. On the other hand, by Esav, it says it is one word. Vayichabkeyu, says Rashi, oh, it's one word. That means they wanted the hug to be one person. They wanted Vayishiklo to kiss to be one person. And therefore, it's Vayichabkeyu v'yashakeyu. He did it all as one person. And if you look throughout the Torah, not only in this, not only in kissing and hugging, but in everything, when it says it is one word, that they brought it, it, or that they did, two people did things together, that shows there was a love, there was an ava, there was a connection between the two, was an intimate connection of Ve'echabkeu. He really wanted to be one with him. And if you see two words, you know it's not the same. There's something missing in that connection. It's not the same. So I'm thinking, to answer our question in Parshas Vayechi, we ask the question that Rashi says that when Yaakov said, and he looked at Ephraim and Manasseh and me, Ela, who are they? And Rashi doesn't learn in Pashup Shat, who are they? I can't see who they are. But he learns it, that there's Rishayim in the future. And we ask the question, how did Rashi know that? Where did he get it from? So one of the hints he might have had is it doesn't say Vayechabkeyim Vayishakeyim. It doesn't say kiss them as one word, it says as two words. Vayishakeyim Yechabkeyim. Rashi says there's something missing in the kiss, there's something missing in the hug, that Yaakov felt a certain reluctance because he saw in the future what's going to come from them. So maybe that's the reason, building on Tzav Kabbalah's reasoning, that if it's two words, it's two people, it's a certain distance, maybe that's why by Yaakov, one of the hints that Rashi had, that he knew to say this, was to do it like that. So that's what I was thinking, and that would answer the question. So it's a tremendous insight throughout the Torah, that if something is, you see a lot of things, and you wonder, Taka, many times you're learning, and you say, why did Torah say like this here, and say like that there? And the answer is, that if it's one word, it means it's a more closer connection, and if it's two words, it's a connection that's not as close as it is. Once we're doing interesting things, I just wanted to share another Nakuda, that there's a very interesting Balat Turim. I was by Rabbi Leif, Rabbi Blazer Leif, the brother of Rabbi Tovia's Rosh Shivan in Munson. He's a tremendous darshan. He's a tremendous, very, very Gishmak Atira. Beautiful, beautiful. My Maimorim. His Piv Mapik Margolius Pashat. And anyway, so he brought a Balat Turim. And the Balat Turim answered a question that I've had so many years. And this will answer, I hope, the question that maybe you all had also whenever you hear, believe it or not, the Megillah. I guess we're already getting a little bit closer. We're past Hanukkah. It's our next stop is Purim. It was Tu B'Shvat, but, you know, for next major is Purim is coming up. So we can already start. Remember the Tank of Ruv, my Rebbe, Zatzal, used to say that you can start talking about a Hanukkah starting in Parshas Noach. Because Noach is Rosh HaTevis near Hanukkah. So from Hanukkah, you can already start talking. So I guess we can already start talking. It's after Hanukkah, so now we can start talking about Purim. So it says that when Yosef went to Paro, and it says Vayafgeid, that, you know, he gave an Eitzah. He interpreted the dream, and then he gave Paro an Eitzah. What should he do with the dream? What should he do about it? There's 7 years of famine, and there'll be 7 years of plenty. The other way around. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And he said, so Yosef gave an idea, and he said, V'yafked hamelech, he should make pikidim. V'yafked pikidim, and you should make pikidim that will go around, and they will, in Pasuk Lamed Dalet, that's in page 120, if you want to take a look at the Pasuk. And he says, Yasa paro v'yafked pikidim. You should make officers. The word a pakid, if you'll tell me where's my Hebrew expert, a pakid is an official, right? But to appoint means an appointed person. To be
a clerk,
right. So he's v'yafked pikidim, appoint clerks, al eretz, v'chimeshes eretz Mitzrayim. And they'll go and they'll get to all the 20% and they'll be allowed, and we know the rest of the story. But what's interesting here is just, it's amazing, this Balat Turim. The Balat Turim very often does what's called a Mesiris. That means he says when words, similar phrases are used in one part of the Torah, it impacts on the similar phrase which is used in other parts of the Torah, and you can learn from one to the other. So it says, where's the other place where we find Pekidim, that they appointed people, they appointed Pekidim, let's see if anybody knows, we do it, you listen every year, talking about Purim, okay, V'yafkid amela Pekidim, and V'chol, right, Medina's Malchuso, when he wanted to look for a new bride to replace Vashti, so he made Pekidim, he made officers, and they went out to all 127 countries and get every single person they could find and bring them to Shushan, which was, of course, an incredibly, nobody thinks about it, but can you imagine what that meant? What they had to send up, who knows how many thousands of people. And it was expensive. And that's what he says. It says about Achashverosh Hifkid Pekidim Lekabes LeNoshim. He made Pekidim to get to look for a wife. Al Kain Nisroish, therefore he became poor. And he had no money. And you see that he became poor, because what does it say at the end of the Megillah? That everybody asks why, in the last three psukim of the Megillah, everyone's ready to go home and eat, so they don't listen too well at the end. But if you take a look in the last three letters of the last three words, psukim, talks about the import, that they went, and Achashverosh made a mas. Here it is. Vayasim, it's the beginning of Perek Yod, the last Perek, it's a short Perek, it's only three psukim. Vayasim melech Achashverosh, mas ala oretz v'yayom. He made the tax. This is such a good time to say a word like this, right? You know, with taxes. Everyone's talking about the taxes. He made taxes also. And he made it on the land and on all the islands. And everyone says, what are we talking about taxes? Who cares? And we talk about the Megillah and Haman and trying to kill the Jews and we got saved. Who do we care if Haman made taxes, didn't make taxes? So the answer is the Megillah is telling us an important lesson. That Haman went and he made Pekidim. And he went and he used his money to go and do all of this search, which cost a hein rav. And that's why he lost his money. On the other hand, the Pekidim of Yosef, he also made Pekidim. But his Pekidim that he made, of Yosef, get Pekidim, the Kabbat's bar, to get provisions, Al-Kain Esher, he became rich. The Likud called Kesef, he got all the Kesef. So at least said he was walking with, he was with a friend, and went to visit Ramesha and Piro Zitzal. And they asked him, why is the double Lashon? Why say Vayafkin Amel Pekidim? It should say Vayasa Mel Pekidim. Why Vayafkin Mel Pekidim? So he said, whenever you have it twice, we know it means you're emphasizing something. It means he was single-mindedly devoted to this task of finding the best person that he could find to become the Malka. And he would send people out, and they would come back, and he'd say, did you go to that city? And they said, that city, that, you got to go over a real rough river over there, and there's a mountain. He says, I want you to go back, I want you to do it. And that's why, because he was single-mindedly devoted. On the other hand, what Yosef was saying by having a double loss, he was saying, be single-minded in getting the stuff together. Don't be lazy, because it's coming, it's really going to happen. So he used the double lashon, v'yasa melech pekidim, that you should make pekidim. And therefore it's a different, therefore his worked, and his, unfortunately, his made him rich and his made him poor. But the bottom line of both is as because they concentrated, because they said this is what we have to do. So whenever you see a double lashon, you know that there's a single-mindedness that's in that double lashon that drives people. And that's what we have to realize. So just interesting, next time we'll get to the Megillah, and you'll see that he made mas, and you'll wonder, why did he make a tax? And the answer is because he got poor. So you can imagine what the people thought of him. They called, and this might be, I was thinking this might also be what saved the Jews, because they thought he was a Melech Tippish. They said, do you know what the king is doing with our money? You know all those taxes that he put on you? Do you know what he's doing with them? He's doing crazy stuff. He's going to 107. He can't find. There's plenty of fine shaduchim here in Shushan. He's got to go to 127 medinas. What was the reason he did it? Because he's a show off, as you know, he's a big show off. So he was doing it to show it's been the grace of Kenny, but it's very expensive showing off your grace of Kenny, and he became poor from showing that off. So when he went and he said they should kill all the Jews, people didn't trust him either. They went and they said he's a meshuganer. This is not somebody we can trust. Somebody does that, he'll say do this. It also doesn't make sense. So therefore, it could be that this is also part of the Rebbe Yisrael's plan in saving the Yidden by Purim, is to that he should do it in such a way that undermined his authority with the people and undermined his malchus. And therefore, when he said to do things, people just weren't paying attention anymore. At a certain
they
point.
Guessed it anyway.
Well, that's because that's Klapi, the Jewish people. It was scary. In Echonami. I mean, they didn't know all of this. They weren't aware of all this. They just knew that there's a very powerful Melech, and you know, he has the power still to wipe them out. Even, you know, what they say, the worst bear is a wounded bear. You know, so the fact that he was poor, he had more reason to want to wipe out the Jews because he would want to take all of their money. Unfortunately, Jews have been killed throughout history. Because when the Crusades was as much about religion as was about money, because of the Inquisition, all of these things, these were all you know, things that they did, where there was a big shloi lishma, because when they Nebuchadnezzar killed a yid, especially wealthy one, they could take all of their money. What? The Nazis also. The gold train, I mean, all of these things that you read about. Yeah, the Nazis also, they were after Nebuch. Okay, we have to be mispal. We have to, just like Hashem, you know, watches us in the Megillah, we have to watch us all the time. We, you know, what they say in Hallel, we say, Alos Hashem Kol Goyim, and they ask, why do we say to, we should praise Hashem for what the Goyim, what do you mean? What do you mean? What does the Goyim have to do with it? It's us. The answer is because they knew all the things that they want to do to us, and Hashem stops them that we don't even know. So, you know, the guy who didn't throw the bomb, the guy who didn't shoot the gun, only the Ribbon Shem knows that. We don't know about it. So we have to thank Hashem for that. Okay. So we said that Yaakov is giving this bracha. And what's the bracha that he gives to his Einishlach? So he wants to give him a bracha, and he tells him to take a look at Pasuk Hey and Vav. Perek Mem Ches, again, right here at the beginning, page 141, says Va'ata Shnei Vanecha, and now your two sons Hanoladim Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim. These two sons that were born to you in Mitzrayim, Ad Boye Lecha Mitzrayim. Before I came, and he makes sure to say before I came, Liyeh, they're mine. Keruvein, Ephraim, and Manasseh, Keruvein, Shimon, Yalit. Says the famous words, right? That Ephraim, Yisimcha, Lekim, Kephraim, Manasseh, right? Ephraim, Manasseh are now becoming like Reuven, Shimon. They're becoming Shiftei Kah, and they're becoming part of Yaakov's family. And Yaakov goes out of his way to say that we're born in Mitzrayim. If you read the Pasuk, he goes out of his way, and he says, Hanoi Ladam Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim. We're born in Mitzrayim, Ad Boy Lech, before I came. They're mine. Okay? Now, but Yosef didn't have more children. You know, he had more children than Ephraim and Manasseh. Yeah. Says the Ramban that he had children after that. Umalada decha asher lada achreim. Says the pasuk. It's funny. The first pasuk everyone knows. This pasuk I don't think everybody don't pay attention to. Umalada asher lada achreim lecha you, and the children that are born afterwards should belong to you. Al shem achem yikar benachlosim. And they'll get their nachlas through their brothers. They will no longer be independent. Shvatim, they'll get their nachlas through their brothers. So the Maina Shvu asks a very simple question. This is backward. What's going on here? Frederick Moshe Feinstein. He brings, this is backward. What did Yaakov say? Let's think about this carefully. Yaakov said, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born before I came, and were raised by you, those are mine. And the ones that are born after I came, that are raised more like by me, those are yours. It should be the other way. Ephraim and Manasseh were born before Yaakov came, should belong to Yosef. He raised them. Yaakov wasn't even there. And the ones who came afterwards should belong to Yaakov because he was there then. So why did Yaakov say this? Did anybody ever think of this question? Okay, I'm glad. What? It's a hard question. No, it's like one of those questions. You say, yeah, you know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. Says Ramesha Gevaltik. Shnei Adboy Elech Mitzrayim Elihem El Omer Ramesha Ryan Niskav Golem Khan. We have an important Yisoyt. Elu Shenolo Achash Hashvatum Beisim Yordle Mitzrayim. The ones who came down after they went into Mitzrayim, that they were from, and they were Erlich, and they were good, and they were fine. That's no kins. That's no kunz. Because that, they had, all the shvatim were there, all the kids were there, the uncles were all from, the brothers and sisters were from, the cousins were from, everybody's from, it's Gvaltik, it's beautiful, right? So why not? So they're all from. You know what the kunz was? Ephraim and Manasseh were from. Ephraim and Manasseh grew up when there were no cousins, and there were no uncles, and there were no brothers, and there was nothing. So how did they stay from? It's because of, says Yaakov, it's because Yosef looked to his father. The same Yaakov that had saved Yosef from Eshes Potiphar, and inflanced in him, embedded in him all of those midos. Yaakov said, that came from me. That the other ones were from, and Erlich, that they had a good environment. But the fact that the ones grew up in that environment, that's because their father had a good chinuch from his father, from me. And therefore he said that those are mine. Those are the ones that come together with me. And that's why he answered. Zel pri chinucha shal asav, the chinuch of the grandfather. Hamor Hagadol, Yaakov Vino Pri Hashkoz Bibino Yosef. What he put into Yosef came out now. So we have to look back, he says, and we have to realize how much our parents, our grandparents did for us. How much we go through in the Sionis, we go through difficult times, we go through. Where did it all come from that we sort of naturally know how to behave? Many things we don't learn. I remember I once got in trouble with my mother because I remember it was about broiling meat, and I learned certain halacha in Mishnah Berurah. You know, being like 14 years old, you know, I come home and I tell my mother, you know, you know, I learned the halacha, and boy, did I get it. She said, I grew up in my father's house, in the Rebbe's house. You think I needed to like you do? I this was the blood. This was, I grew up with this. As the mama's milk was part of me. I didn't have to go, this is what you grew up with. This is what you knew. So somebody grows up with that. That's where it comes from. It comes from the free of the Gador. We have to have that much hakaras hatayv to all the Dars that came before us. Those that are Baruch Shem Zaychu that are with us, and those are from the Dars that are not. But it all comes from the free of the Gador. It all comes from them. And that's what Yaakov was saying. Yaakov was saying, is Menashe and Ephraim? It's because I built a house. Lihe, they're mine. Because they're part of that. They were built. They were able to survive in that culture because of who they were and who they came from. Okay, let's see. We got a couple minutes. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. Let's go on to pasuk Ches. So we go to a few pasukim later. So we said again, Vayar Yisrael is Ben Yosef Vayomer Mi'Ela. And again, going back to that pasuk, and Yaakov says, "Who are they?" And we said, for those that came in after, there's a shocking Rashi here that says that he says, "I see Rishayim in their future. I see somebody that's not worthy. So I can't give bracha. I lost my Ruach HaKadosh to give a bracha on this." So we look at that and we say, "Can you imagine the Einikloch, how they felt?" Imagine how Yosef felt. You know, it would seem to be such a negative thing. It would seem to be something that's not a good thing. Yaakov is withholding from them because he can't. So he brings in that it's just the opposite. Yaakov was doing the greatest favor by not giving the bracha, or not initially wanting to give the bracha. It says, we hear something in Munus Chachon, Kasher Tzadik Mevarach, when a Tzadik gives a bracha, he takes a look to see that it shouldn't damage anywhere. He doesn't want to give the bracha that's going to go to somebody that might misuse the bracha, that might do something which is not good with the bracha, that might damage with the bracha. So he says, if I give a bracha, it's going to go to the wrong, it might go to the wrong place. It might go to somebody who's not worthy of a bracha, who will use it improperly. And that's why it says by Yitzchak that when Yitzchak realized what happened with Yaakov and Esav, it says Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedayla Ad Me'oid. He had a tremendous shaking. He was sittering, and Rashi says he saw Gehenna open up beneath him. What happened? What was so bad? The answer, he says, I almost gave a bracha to a Rasha. Do you know how a bracha is a very chash of a thing? It's a very important thing. If you give it to the wrong place, it could be used in a terrible way. It says that kaychas rishayim could be used, and therefore he was worried that it would come out in the wrong way, and it would come out and it could chas v'shalom cause damage and not cause the right thing. So the shayla is, how does the tzaddik know? Is it just a feeling that he has? So he says, you know how the tzaddik knows? He says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world, so there was an or, there was a great light. And the light was, it says, Adam Rishon could see from one end of the world to the other. That's how bright the light was. He could see everything. What does that mean, he could see from one end? It doesn't just mean physically, but he could understand what's going to happen. If I do this, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, this is going to happen. I do this, this is going to happen. But we know that the Dora Mabel, the Dora Flaga, were misusing this aura, and they put it away. Hashem saw it's going to be misused, he put it away for Tzadikim. You know where he hid it? He hid in the Torah. He hid in the Torah. And therefore the Tzadik, by learning the Torah, by going to the Torah, can learn from the Torah how to come, like we said in the first word, by V'chavik Lai, V'nashik Lai, that the Tzadik looks, Rashi looks, they see, they look in the Torah, and they can get the answers. So he says they can come in. And Yaakov was worried that maybe my bracha will go in the wrong direction. And Yosef reassured him, they're my children. The bracha won't go to the wrong place. It'll go to the right place. And therefore he was willing to do it. And finally, just let's do one last thing. A little bit later in Parsha, it says when he gathers all the brothers, let's take a look at Memtes, Pasuk Beis. Vayikra Yaakov el b'nei el bonav, he calls his children, Vayomer he osvu, gather, vagid lechem, es hashi yikra eschem akos yom, gather, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. And then he repeats it, but with a different word. The first time he says, he osvu, gather, like anasifa, and then he kabsu, which is another stronger way of saying to gather. Vishimu, B'nei Yaakov, v'shimel Yisrael avichem. Listen, you children of Yaakov, listen to Yisrael, your father. There's a lot of words to say, listen. He could have just said, Shema b'ni. Why does he go through the whole long, hey, also gather, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, gather and listen, B'nei Yaakov, which is the diminutive name of Yaakov, and also v'shimel Yisrael avichem. So he brings a mashal, that there was a father who had a very wealthy man who had a son who was a wastrel. He was somebody, you know, he gave him money and he, you know, there's certain people they just take it and they blow it. You know, he'd go out to fancy restaurants and you know, he'd make bad investments. He just never could hold on to the money. And he goes back to the father. Father would give him more money. And this goes on his whole life. Father bails him out to this, you know, the rich kid, you know, spoiled rich kid, and he's misusing the money. The father gets older, and it's time to move on. And he says, listen, son, I'm going to give you a lot of money now, but I know you're going to blow it, because you're just not good with the money. That's not your thing. But I want to tell you one thing. At least don't give away the house and the garden. Always keep that for yourself. Okay, Dad, you know, I'm going to listen. Father passes on. The child always, you know, blows the money once again, and he comes to tremendous chayvus, and he gets to the point where he really wants to sell the house because it'll give him some more breathing space, I guess, till the next trip to Atlantic City or Las Vegas or whatever he was doing. And he says, "But I can't. My father told me," and he was saying, "Maybe I should sell half the house. Can't do that either. My father told me," and he's pacing around in the garden. And suddenly he stumbles on something, and he digs deeply, you know, in these stories, and he brings out a big chest of diamonds and gold and rubies, and he realizes why his father told him, always stay near the house, because you're going to be able to come to the house, and that's where you're going to find your succor, and that's where you're going to get your money. That's what he told him. And that's the story, the mashal. So he says, this is what Yaakov Avinu was telling him. Yaakov is saying, listen how he says it twice. Shimu b'nei Yaakov. Listen, b'nei Yaakov. There's sometimes that you're going to need Yaakov. You're going to need your father. Just like he said, the house always where you'll go back to. You'll go all over the world. You'll do all sorts of stuff. But you can always come back to Yaakov. Shimu b'nei Yaakov. V'shimu el Yisrael avichem. Listen to your father Yaakov. Listen to Yisrael. Both madregas of Yaakov. Sometimes it's going to be a nesoyin in money. Sometimes it'll be a higher level nesoyin. But all of it, you should know, you can always go back to your father. The father's there. Just like this Gvir said, you can always go back. Your house is there. That's where you'll find the diamonds. That's what we have. So that's what we said before. That a person goes back to the Friyad Dekadarius and learns from them. That's where he'll be able to find true derech. And that's what will keep him mitzvah for all the Darius. So David is the whole thing. We should all be zoiche to follow in the footsteps of the Friyad Dekadarius and continue just like the Shvatim, Shiftei Kof followed in the Derech of Yaakov and Yisrael Vichem. So have an easy rest of the fast. I hope this made at least 40 minutes go a little easier, you know, so the fast is that much closer.